Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Monday, March 23rd, 2020. Front page. Coronavirus. Telling the difference. Is it allergies, flu, or coronavirus 2019? The following is information about allergies, influenza, and coronavirus from Val Sparks, the infections preventionist at Midland Memorial Hospital, as well as other sources. Information is from Sparks, unless otherwise noted. Allergies. Allergies occur when your immune system reacts to a foreign substance, such as pollen, bee venom, or pet dander, or a food that doesn't cause a reaction in most people, according to the Mayo Clinic. Your immune system produces substances known as antibodies. When you have allergies, your immune system makes antibodies that identifies a particular allergen as harmful, even though it isn't. When you come into contact with the allergen, your immune system's reaction can inflame your skin, sinuses, airways, or digestive system. Symptoms: watery eyes, upper respiratory issues, sneezing, and drainage down the throat producing a cough. Usually there's no fever. Sparks said an allergy feels like you are stopped up, like a good head cold. Medicine: typically over-the-counter allergy medicine and antihistamines will help with symptoms. Patients can also take Tylenol for headaches. Why allergies could be a possibility. The warmer weather and abundant rainfall means trees and flowers are blooming. WebMD reports the biggest spring allergy trigger is pollen. Trees, grasses, and weeds release these tiny grains into the air to fertilize other plants. When they get into the nose of someone who is allergic, they send the body's defenses haywire. Influenza, flu. What is the flu? Influenza is a contagious respiratory illness caused by influenza viruses, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It can cause mild to severe illness. Serious outcomes of flu infection can result in hospitalization or death. Some people, such as older people, young children, and people with certain health conditions, are at high risk of serious flu complications. There are two main types of influenza virus, types A and B. The influenza A and B viruses that routinely spread in people, human influenza viruses, are responsible for seasonal flu epidemics each year. Symptoms: rapid onset fever, 100.4 plus degrees, cough, body aches, chills, severe fatigue, nausea, and vomiting. Sparks said, it feels like you have been hit by a truck. There are several strains, including A, B, and H1N1. The seasonal flu vaccine contained four strains. It is late in the flu season, but cases are still possible. Medicines, Tamiflu, and antiviral meds. Why is the flu a possibility? Flu viruses travel through the air in droplets when someone with the infection coughs, sneezes, or talks, according to the Mayo Clinic. You can inhale the droplets directly, or you can pick up the germs from an object such as a telephone or computer keyboard, and then transfer them to your eyes, nose, or mouth. People with the virus are likely contagious from the day or so before symptoms first appear until about 5 days after the symptoms begin. Children and people with weakened immune systems may be contagious for a slightly longer time. Novel coronavirus 2019, or COVID-19. Coronaviruses, COV, according to the World Health Organization, are a large family of viruses that cause illnesses ranging from the common cold to more severe diseases such as Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, MERS-COV, and Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, SARS-CoV. Coronavirus disease, COVID-19 is a new strain that was discovered in 2019 and had not been previously identified in humans. Symptoms: fever, 100.4 and over, sore throat, cough, probably won't cough anything up. What else Sparks said about symptoms? Someone can have abdominal pains, nausea, and vomiting. There are also, can be, pulmonary issues because one can't catch their breath. What screening Sparks said is available: history of travel, those people who have traveled to China, South Korea, Iran, all of Europe, Malaysia, or those who have been on a cruise ship on the last 14 days. Those who have had direct contact with those in Washington State, Colorado, New York City, and California. Those who have had direct contact with a confirmed case. Transmission: flu through droplets, oral and nasal secretions, sneezing, coughing, and talking. Underlying issues: 80 to 85% are mild cases. Symptoms will last 5 to 7 days. Some, including the elderly, could end up with pneumonia and be hospitalized. What Sparks said: if people think they have been somewhere and exposed to coronavirus, they need to self-isolate and practice social distancing. They need to stay home. Is there any drive-through testing in Midland? Yes, but nobody goes through without being screened. For those who are not critically ill, the recommendation is to call your personal care physician and set up an appointment, or call 68 Nurse. What do social distancing, community spread, and pandemic mean, according to the Texas Tribune? Social distancing is deliberately increasing the physical space between people to avoid spreading illnesses, according to Johns Hopkins Medicine. Staying at least 6 feet away, working from home, and avoiding crowds will help stop or slow the spread of the virus and put less strain on healthcare resources or flatten the curve. Community spread is when someone becomes infected without having contact with another infected person or traveling to an area where the infection was documented. According to the CDC, an epidemic is an outbreak of a disease beyond what the population in an area usually expects. A pandemic is when an epidemic spreads to multiple countries or continents. Last week, the WHO declared COVID-19 a pandemic. Compiled by Stuart Doreen. MISD: trustees to consider paying for time missed, from staff reports. Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick said last week he will recommend that the school board approve paying staff for time missed because of the coronavirus pandemic. The board will vote on Riddick's budget amendment at Tuesday's meeting. The virtual meeting will start at 5:30 p.m. The district anticipates taking care of staff at the current rate of pay, Midland ISD's communications office said in an email to the Reporter-Telegram. Midland ISD is prepared for disasters, which includes having sufficient operating funds. 27% of the fund balance is designed for emergencies. We have 3 months of operating expenses covered. Midland ISD also reported that the board will consider a premium rate for emergency-related personnel reporting to work during this district-wide closure. The superintendent will designate employees eligible for the premium rate of pay according to the district. Certain categories of employees may be asked to report to duty locations in order to complete critical work, and employees may be asked to complete duties outside of their normal areas of responsibility to meet community needs. In the meeting agenda packet, an executive summary states, the general fund revenue and expenditure budget decreased by $2.529 million with a net change of $0. The debt service fund expenditure budget increased by $10.785 million. There was no change to the child nutrition fund budget. MISD is closing all district offices effective today, Monday, the communications department said over the weekend. The decision was made in an effort to increase social distancing and minimize the chance for community spread. Staff have been directed to work from home while completing their specific job duties as assigned by their supervisor. This change does not alter the district's commitments regarding the provisions of child nutrition and academic resources. Governor Greg Abbott declared schools across the state will be closed until 11:59 p.m. April 3rd. The closure could be extended based on the status of COVID-19 at that time, according to a press release from MISD. MISD. Riddick says break could impact students who deferred work. By Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD Superintendent Orlando Riddick said last week that the academic pause caused by the coronavirus situation could negatively impact those students who deferred on assignments or work. When asked during a press event about how the break in classes could impact computing grade point averages, Riddick said students who have stayed in the moment and taken care of their assignments will be better off than those who deferred until a later date. He said this applies to class rankings, graduation, or advancing to the next grade. You take the opportunity now to ensure you are taking care of all your assignments and all your work, and that you are on your game every day when you walk in, so you are not deferring it until another time, Riddick said. Because if you have done that, you are in a great position. If you have done some deference and you said, I will take care of it later, and I got that, and I will make it up later. Well, we have to come in to a point in time that could change an aspect of where your grade might sit. The superintendent said the district is currently in the fifth of six-week periods. He said that it could be that the GPA could be calculated as the district normally does, and then we would have to determine where kids are based on that and what work needs to be completed and finalized, so we could be sure that every student can take now, so you are in an okay position, Riddick said. But if we were to extend what it looks like, it will radically change how students might have to come and take care of what that work could look like that they need to finalize in order to get that credit they might need to progress to the next grade or for graduation, advantage of everything at that moment. Riddick said that the pause offers students a chance to reassess where they are in terms of assignments or where they will stand when school resumes. Coronavirus briefs. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. Albertsons Market, 1002 Andrews Highway, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 and older, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Albertsons, 3317 North Midland Drive, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 and older, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays. HEB, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Customers 60 and older. Orders can be called in from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397. 0080. That's 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 and older, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Meeting today, Monday. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Midland County Courthouse Auxiliary Courtroom, 500 North Lorraine Avenue. Tax office limits number of customers. The Midland County Tax Office is limiting the number of customers who enter the office at any one time, according to a press release. That number depends on the number of motor vehicle deputies who are available. Residents may renew registration or disabled parking placard at renew.txdmv.gov. Motor vehicle transactions also may be mailed to Karen Hood, Tax Assessor Collector, 2110 North A Street, number 111, Midland, Texas, 79705. Also, Governor Greg Abbott has granted temporary extension on vehicle registration renewal, disabled parking placard renewal, and temporary 30-day permits. This waiver is in effect until 60 days after normal vehicle registration is announced, according to the release. YMCA offers emergency daycare. The Midland YMCA, 800 North Big Spring Street, is providing emergency child care during the coronavirus situation for parents who must report to work and don't have other options. Care will be offered 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Monday through Friday, for children 6 weeks old to 12-year-old kids. Parents must provide lunch. Fee is $125 for Y members and $163 for non-members. For more information or to register a child, call 682-2551. MMH changes visitation policy. In order to prevent the spread of coronavirus and to protect patients, Midland Memorial Hospital has suspended all visitation except for government personnel, adult family members of end-of-life patients who are actively dying, one coach or partner for labor and delivery patients, and one parent for pediatric patients. The only ports of entry for the public will be the emergency department entrance and the Craddock Medical Office Building main entrance. City offices and court closed to the public. The City of Midland offices are closed to the public at least until April 3rd, according to a press release from the city's spokeswoman. Also, Midland Municipal Court will be closed until April 3rd. Staff will still be available by phone during business hours during that time. Question 4. MCPL reduces hours of operation. Midland County Public Library is reducing the hours of operation. Both branches will be open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday. All public programming, notary services, computer usage, and printing and copying services are suspended until further notice. Meeting room reservations and bookmobile stops have been canceled through April 30th. The Passport Acceptance Office will make every effort to keep scheduled appointments, but no new appointments will be made at this time. The library is also currently unable to accept and process any material, books, magazines, etc., and donations. Dog parks to undergo maintenance. The City of Midland Parks and Recreation will close the dog parks for one day this week for routine spring maintenance, according to the city's spokeswoman. Hogan Dog Park will be closed today, Monday, and Beale Dog Park will be closed on Thursday.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 23rd. Dallas County orders shelter in place as cases spread. By Cassandra Pollock and Aaliyah Swaby from the Texas Tribune. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins issued a countywide sheltering-in-place order on Sunday, marking the most expansive action yet from a Texas official to combat the new coronavirus continuing to spread across the state. The Stay Home, Stay Safe order, effective as of 11:59 p.m. on March 23rd, will continue through April 3rd, and it comes hours after Governor Greg Abbott declined to issue a statewide shelter-in-place, though the state's top elected official noted he would applaud local leaders if they decided to take more sweeping actions for their jurisdictions. Jenkins said he expected his authority to keep the order in place would extend beyond April 3rd if necessary. He said that if Abbott issues a statewide order, the number of deaths would be reduced from more than 400,000 to about 5,000 over a three-month period. Dallas County's order is intended to keep hospitals from exceeding their capacity of COVID-19 patients and to minimize the catastrophic outcomes, seen in other countries, Jenkins said at a press conference Sunday. We are headed to a point of no return if we continue to dawdle, he said. This is larger than Dallas County, so I implore Abbott to reconsider a statewide order. Jenkins' order allows for people to leave their homes for outdoor walks, getting necessary items like medicine and groceries, and to care for sick relatives, but otherwise must stay in their households. Businesses that do not provide essential services cannot continue to operate from their facilities, and instead employees must work from home if possible. All individuals currently living within Dallas County are ordered to shelter at their place of residence, the order reads. For the purposes of this order, residences include hotels, motels, shared rentals, and similar facilities. To the extent individuals are using shared or outdoor spaces, they must at all times, as reasonably as possible, maintain social distancing of at least 6 feet from another person when they are outside their residence. Essential businesses, including hospitals, senior residential centers, and child care for those employees, may continue in-person operations. They are still required to keep 6 feet of distance between employees and with members of the public, if necessary. As Texans continue to clear grocery stores of hand sanitizer and food, Jenkins stressed that grocery stores will continue to be open and accessible. Dallas County is believed to have been the most affected area of the state for the coronavirus. Local health officials reported that 131 county residents have tested positive as of Sunday morning. The Texas State Department of Health Services reported 30 cases there as of noon Sunday. Abbott said that the state's numbers do not include presumed positive cases as an explanation for why DSHS daily figures of positive cases in Texas have consistently lagged other disclosures and reports. As the pandemic has continued to intensify, local officials have been calling on Abbott for a statewide shelter in place, which would extend beyond the executive order the governor issued Thursday. On Saturday, a group of officials from North Texas, including the mayors of Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington, sent a letter to Abbott requesting he consider a mandatory shelter in place across the state. A number of healthcare executives also signed onto the letter. On Sunday, though, Abbott said, "We need to see the level of effectiveness on Thursday's executive order," noting that what may be right for places like the large urban areas may not be right at this particular point of time for the more than 200 counties that have zero cases of COVID-19. Two Dallas area Democrats, State Representatives Victoria Neve and Chris Turner, praised Jenkins' move in statements Sunday after the news. Neve, who co-chairs the Dallas County delegation, called the order our best bet to flatten the curve and manage the rising threat this disease presents to each and every person in our county. And Turner, who chairs the House Democratic Caucus, said Jenkins' decisive leadership will save lives and called on Abbott to reconsider his position on a statewide stay-at-home directive. Texas hospital leaders have asked Governor Abbott for a statewide stay-at-home order, as have a bipartisan group of mayors, Turner said. I hope Governor Abbott will follow the advice of the health care experts who are on the front lines and enact such an order. Until then, I am confident that local leaders in many Texas communities will continue making difficult but necessary decisions to protect public health, as Judge Jenkins did today. Stay strong, social distancing worship. New guidelines don't stop the faithful, by Michael Bauer. With places all over the country having to adjust to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus, many churches are thinking outside the box to find ways to offer services for members. For Connection Christian Church, one way of doing that was a drive-in service. On Sunday, Connection Christian held its service where members were able to participate in worship from from inside their cars. The service was held in the west parking lot behind the church. Only the worship leaders were outside on foot, while everyone else remained in their cars during the service. Those taking part in worship were able to tune in their radio stations from their cars to a live streaming of the service. The idea to do a drive-in worship came up this past week. According to co-minister Joe Weeks, there were plenty of questions that were raised after thinking up the idea. When we decided to do drive-through worship, it immediately raised some questions like, can we pull it off? And how do we pull it off? Joe Weeks said. Our leadership rose to the occasion, and we also didn't know if it was something that would appeal and would folks respond to it. Judging by the amount of people who came out, it appeared to work. But judging by the amount that came, it was meaningful for them, Joe said. The reason we wanted to do it was the same reason they came, which was we wanted to be together, and that's an important part of our identity. It was super helpful. We felt like we were still in community. The church didn't want to give up in-person gatherings, but still wanted to be good neighbors and to honor the guidelines from the CDC and health professionals. By using an FM transmitter, they were able to pull it off. We use the same kind of transmitter when you go to a fancy Christmas light display and have to tune to their FM dial transmitter. So folks were able to hear well from their cars, Joe said. That was better than I had hoped it would be. It took plenty of brainstorming to come up with an idea of how to still worship while being mindful of the restrictions that have been set in place by the county and state to not spread the virus. We were praying and brainstorming on how we can still come together as a body and still worship Christ in a way that's healthy for our congregation, co-minister Don Weeks said. There's a church in our denomination that's been doing drive-in worship for 6 years, so we decided to try this. Our people are so clever and such great thinkers, and they said go for it. The church service will include communion and offering, with communion being served through the windows of each car. Other groups form the church, including Sunday school, have been moved online. All of our groups are online, Don Weeks said. Online now. We're making multiple phone calls to anyone that's connected to our church to make sure that they're okay, and running errands for the elderly who can't get out. There are 3 outreach things that we are doing: Meals on Wheels, and we're sewing masks for our medical communities. For those participating in worship, doing a drive-in service was a fun, unique idea. I think it's awesome because you get to come out and still be respectful of the safety that we have to maintain, David Houston said. We can see our church family, which is cool, and we can be here with the energy of it. You can watch sermons online, but they're not the same as being here. So whoever thought of this was very creative. Now is the time to hunker down. Schools are closed. State and national health care leaders are encouraging canceling all large gatherings, and the definition of large keeps changing to a smaller number. We have been encouraged as a society to hunker down to reduce transmission of the COVID-19 virus. Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said he would rather err on the side of being overly aggressive with hunkering down and get criticism for overreacting than to underreact and overwhelm the healthcare system. So what does hunker down mean? At its basic, it means stay at home as much as you can and interact with the fewest possible people, especially if you're a person who is at high risk. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, people at high risk are those who are over 60 and those who have serious chronic medical conditions, such as heart disease, lung disease, and diabetes. People who have compromised immune systems, like people with cancer, those who have autoimmune disorders, people with HIV, and people who have received organ donations are also at higher risk. If you are in one of those populations, it is especially important that you heed advice and hunker down. If you are not at high risk, you still need to hunker down, so you avoid the people who are as much as possible. I know it is incredibly difficult, but think twice about visiting older loved ones in person. Apps like FaceTime and Skype are great for interacting with your loved ones without the risk of exposing them. If you do need to see loved ones for things like bringing them groceries and supplies, make sure you wash your hands before entering their home or personal space, and again when you leave, and keep touching to a minimum. Do not go see your at-risk loved ones if you are sick. Avoid visiting healthcare organizations unless you are seeking medical care. Patients in hospitals and nursing homes can fall into multiple high-risk categories, making them the most vulnerable populations of all. If you do have to go out and about, here are some great precautions against contracting the virus. Wash your hands frequently. Soap and water for at least 20 seconds is your best option. Use hand sanitizers when soap and water is not an option, and keep hand sanitizers in locations that will help keep the virus out of your personal spaces, at entryways, in your car, at your desk, at work. Use tissues or other barriers when contacting high-touch objects in public places like doorknobs, elevator buttons, countertops, and gas pump handles. Use the styluses with a barrier at registers, not your fingers. I know this is very hard for us in West Texas, but avoid hugs and handshakes. Fist bump, elbow bump, or play the game like we did in elementary school, where you tap opposite toes together. Personally, I like that one. It just causes smiles and laughs, just like hugs do. Wipe down surfaces you can with disinfecting wipes like shopping carts. Think about the high-touch things in your home or office, too. Keyboards, cell phones, remote controls, and make sure you are cleaning those things regularly. Try to stay at least 6 feet from others, and avoid places that may have crowds as much as possible, theaters, restaurants, bars, and even church services. Many churches now have televised or streaming services. Attend and interact with your church family virtually until this crisis has passed. I have no doubt your church leaders will understand. The CDC does not recommend that people in the general population wear masks. The World Health Organization, WHO, has the same advice. Masks are best reserved for people taking care of those who were sick because they cannot avoid close contact. Masks have to be fit and worn properly to provide protection, which does not happen most of the time in the hands of untrained individuals. Hand washing and social distancing, staying 6 feet away from others, is going to protect the average person far better than wearing a mask. Finally, please make sure you are getting advice on weathering this crisis from reputable sources, our local health department, the Texas State Department of Health Services, the CDC, the WHO, and your primary health care provider. There is a whole lot of misinformation flying around out there, and unfortunately, people who prey on fear to take advantage of others. Stay safe and hunker down. Quick hits. COVID-19 cases. A Johns Hopkins University running tally offers updated numbers on cases of COVID-19 confirmed cases in Texas. As of 7 p.m. Saturday, it showed Texas positive cases 355, total Texas deaths 6. According to the Texas Tribune, Dallas County had 30, while Harris County had 27. There were 0 reported confirmed cases in Ector County and 1 in Midland County by press time. In the United States, Johns Hopkins showed 15,219 total cases and 201 deaths as of 7 p.m. Saturday. That was with all 50 states and the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, and U.S. Virgin Islands reporting. The data includes both confirmed and presumptive positive cases of COVID-19. Visit the Texas site at dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Learn more about the virus at coronavirus.gov. OA closes to walk-in business. The Odessa American offices are closed to walk-in customers until further notice. Anyone wishing to make a payment in person should mail the payment in to 700 North Grant Suite, North Grant Suite 800, Odessa, Texas 79761. The only people allowed in the offices other than OA employees will be people making deliveries, which must be left in the reception area of the offices. Those placing legal ads will be allowed in. For help or more information, main line 432-337-4661. Circulation, customer service, angular, that's angular, at oaoa.com, or calls 432-337-7314. 888-693-7191 or 432-967-4432. Customer service or payments 432-333-7734. Legal ads OA Legals at oaoa.com or call 432-333-7777. Classified ads OA Classified at oaoa.com or call 432-333-7777. Advertising Terry at oaoa.com or 432-333-7603. News OA News at oaoa.com or L. Dennis at oaoa.com or call 432-333-7775. Doctor, No Immunity Yet to Coronavirus by Ruth Campbell. The flu and coronavirus are similar because they are both respiratory illnesses and are spread from person to person in common fashion. The differences would be like in the case of corona. It's a new virus to us, and so people have not had an opportunity to develop immunity worldwide, said Dr. Timothy Benton, professor and chair of the Department of Family and Community Medicine at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in Odessa. Although the flu virus changes rapidly, there is at least some immunity throughout the population in general or broadly. This virus, since it has not circulated through the population, there is not any developed immunity, Benton said in a phone interview. The other thing, of course, is we have vaccines for flu. Another difference is the pathophysiology within the lungs of the coronavirus is different, in that the coronavirus itself can cause a more intense damage in the lung, whereas often the flu virus weakens the respiratory tract, which allows for other infections to come, secondary infections, bacterial pneumonia. But in the case of coronavirus, it's more directly damaging to the respiratory tract. That can happen with any infection in the lung, where the body response to injury of any kind is scarring. And even what we would consider routine pneumonia can potentially result in lung scarring. But corona, at its advanced stages, can be more diffusely damaging to lung. Benton said what he means by diffusely damaging is in common or classic bacterial pneumonia that may be located within, say, one lobe of the lung, which there are multiple lobes, but coronavirus can be throughout multiple lobes. Testing is prescribed by following the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines. The guidelines are available to the public online. And Benton said there are testing centers set up. A physician's role is to bring the patients through the provided CDC guidelines and then recommend to the testing center, which then is also under the guidelines of the local health department, Benton said. Emily Holiva of the Texas Health Tech Health Sciences Communications and Marketing Office So the health departments in Odessa and Midland are taking the lead on that. They are who we've been told to direct questions to, Holiva said. Benton said the Texas Tech clinics and physicians are still seeing patients. They are seeing respiratory patients separately. Holiva said a screening process and policies are in place so that respiratory patients are not exposed to general patients who may have come in for their yearly checkups. We plan to have telemedicine options for visits soon. The governor's declaration of a state of emergency also directed the Texas Medical Board to relax rules for telemedicine options for all providers, Benton said. Asked if access to telemedicine is an issue for patients he sees, Benton said they are looking at a platform where it can be conducted on desktop computers and possibly phones. So it would depend on the patient's access to that sort of technology, but that seems to be pretty widespread, Benton said. As for students who were on spring break, the week of March 16th, the university has canceled classes and will offer online instruction March 30th until further notice, the Texas Tech website said. But our students with the Health Sciences Center have clinicals. They work in labs. They work with patients. It's not necessarily that our students are in a classroom 24/7 situation, so it's still in the process. We're still working on that, Holiva said Tuesday. She added that they are still trying to come up with the best plan for their students, given that the break could last longer. Part of our mission as an academic institution is also a healthcare provider, and our healthcare will continue forward. Patient care certainly continues to go on as needed in a pandemic. We will continue in our healthcare service no matter the situation, Benton said. He added that students will continue to be involved in the patient care setting to some extent. Students are at various stages of being a student, Benton said. He added that this is certainly something very few of them have seen in their medical careers. Benton said he went through a similar process with H1N1 flu in 2009. Times like this, we have to provide care, and we will, I will, till I'm quarantined, Benton said. ORMC restricts visitors. Starting today, and in line with the latest guidance provided by the CDC and the Texas State Department of Health related to COVID-19, all hospital visitors will be restricted until further notice. The only exceptions are for our new mothers and babies, who will be allowed one visitor each. We are here, as always, to serve all patients. Our commitment to providing care for the ongoing health and well-being of our community is vital, particularly in times like these. To protect our patients and employees from the spread of COVID-19, we are making every effort to keep our facilities safe through enhanced screening of patients and strict visitor restrictions to our facilities. All patients who enter the hospital through available access points will be screened immediately upon arrival. Points of entrance will be limited to the ER main entrance 24/7 and the West Campus main entrance 24/7. If you are not a provider working at ORMC, hospital employee, or seeking immediate medical attention, you are asked to avoid the hospital. If you are experiencing a cough, fever, and/or shortness of breath, or have been in direct contact with someone who has been diagnosed with COVID-19, call your primary physician doctor's office. Your physician will help determine whether you may come in for an appointment or if you should stay home and await further instruction. You can also call our COVID-19 hotline for a phone screening and additional resources at 432-582-8030. That number again is 432-582-8030. Please do not come to the hospital unless it is an emergency. MCM Food Vendors Still Serving Customers by Sam Waller. The way of doing business may have changed, but 7 food vendors at Music City Mall are still serving customers despite working within restrictions brought about by the coronavirus pandemic. restaurants, Fuddruckers, Furs, and 10 Sports Bar, as well as food court vendors El Super Taco, Favela's, Zambi's, and Giovanni's Pizza, are offering carryout service after Governor Greg Abbott ordered the cessation of dine-in service at restaurants throughout the state. "We're just trying to continue business as best we can and keep as many people employed as we can to help everyone," said Mickey Rogers of Lubbock-based Cafe Venture, the franchise holder for the local Fuddruckers. Tatiana Cardenas, a bartender and server at 10 Sports Bar, said business is carrying on as usual, if rather slowly. "Our bosses still want us to make a little bit of cash, a little income on our end," Cardenas said, "and we want to make sure our regulars and anybody who wants our food is able to get it without having to come in and dine because dine-in is closed." An extra service 10 Sports Bar is offering is free delivery on offers of $50 or more, Cardenas said. Also, 10 Sports Bar is continuing to offer beer with food orders, both pickup and delivery, Cardenas said. Customers must be 21 or older to purchase beer. Rogers, whose firm holds 12 Fuddruckers franchises in Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma, said the chain is offering its full menu in addition to the main ingredients of its hamburgers. "We're actually selling meat, our hamburger patties," he said. "They can buy a sleeve of one-third pound hamburgers, burgers, or half-pound burgers. There are 6 patties in the one-third pound sleeve and 5 in the half-pound sleeve. We also bake our bread fresh every day. We're baking loaves of bread and we're baking our hamburger buns, which we can package for pickup as well. We're probably selling 50 to 75, maybe 100 loaves of bread a day right now." Rogers said it's all part of continuing to serve the customer base. "We give people the option to do both," he said. "You can either cook it yourself or we can still take the order and you can get the same half-pound burger with tater tots, fries, and onion rings and a milkshake if you like, and we'll deliver it to your car for you." Rogers, a Permian Basin native, said the program takes on added significance from a personal aspect. "I grew up in Crane, went to Odessa College, and transferred to Tech," he said. "I have family in Crane and friends and family in Odessa, so it's home for us." Both Fuddruckers, Fuddsburger.com, that's FuddsBurger.com, and Furs, www.furrs.net, will take orders online as well as over the phone. Furs will continue to offer a wide variety of dishes, some of which may not be listed on the online menu. Pickup locations for 10 Sports Bar, Fuddruckers, and Furs are located outside the main entrance to the respective restaurants. The pickup location for all food court vendors is at the food court ice rink entrance to Music City Mall.
Hello, this is April of the Recording Library of West Texas reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, March 22, 2020. Energy. Jurgen. Oil crash similar to 1998-1930s. By Mella McEwen. M. McEwen at MRT.com. Correction. While crude oil fell below the $20 level during trading Friday, the price settled Friday at $22.43, a decline of $2.79 or 11.1% from Thursday's close. The Permian Basin oil and gas industry is caught in the crossfire of two crises: a demand shock caused by the impact of the coronavirus and a supply shock as Saudi Arabia and Russia flood the markets with crude as part of a price war. Two crises have hit the oil market at the same time: the coronavirus and an oil market war launched in the middle of a pandemic, said Daniel Jurgen, vice chairman of IHS Market. "Every crisis is different," he said in a phone interview. "Some features of this remind me of 1998 and some remind me of the 1930s. In 1998, oil producers increased production into a shrinking market to the point that storage was overwhelmed and oil prices fell to $10 a barrel, he said. That's similar to the 1930s, when giant oil fields, such as the one in East Texas, came online in the midst of the Great Depression, driving oil prices to 13 cents a barrel. We could again run out of storage, said Jürgen, who is preparing for the release of his new book, The New Math, Energy, Climate, and the Clash of Nations. Also different this time is the impact of low oil prices, he said. Normally, low oil prices act like a tax cut, he said, but that won't work if schools are closed, airplanes aren't flying, and people are working from home. Until the world gets to the other side of the virus peak and people start leaving their homes again, the economic stimulus of low oil prices won't be felt. Jürgen said it will be about 2 months before that happens. That's what's different from other periods of low oil prices, he said. This started in the first quarter, with oil demand in China dropping. And now, by the second quarter, demand decline has spread to Europe and North America. The good news is the demand decline. He preferred demand pause to demand destruction. Isn't permanent, he said. The market share tug of war between Saudi Arabia and Russia is a different matter, though. I do think this oil price war is aimed by the Saudis, not just at Russia, but at U.S. shale. Exporters were shocked by the growth in U.S. production, he said, noting that between 2016, when members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and affiliated countries such as Russia agreed to production limits, and 2019, U.S. production grew 60%. That's astonishing, really, he said. The Saudis are looking at the tussle with Russia in terms of market share, while Russia sees it as political, Jürgen said. They believe the growth of U.S. energy independence that U.S. shale has given to U.S. foreign policy has facilitated sanctions. The Russians don't like sanctions, and they really don't like the sanctions that blocked the Nord Stream 2 pipeline just weeks from completion. They think the U.S. wanted it shut down so they could sell more U.S. gas. Saudi's actions are kind of an economic attack on U.S. shale, Jürgen said. Washington needs to pay attention to Texas's electoral votes, the second most in the nation, as the government ponders how to respond, he said. During the primary campaign, I realized the country doesn't understand the economic benefits of shale, not just to the oil and gas industry, not just to Texas, not just to the Permian Basin, but to the country, he said. It's been important to the recovery of the industrial Midwest. That's just not part of the national dialogue, which is why we have this distorted conversation about energy. We need a better understanding of what shale means to the well-being of the U.S. Shale producers will feel the brunt of the nation's output decline over the next year, especially in the Permian Basin, the center of the nation's shale production, Jürgen said. Shale was already going through a crisis, developing a new social contract with investors, giving money back to investors. This is more challenging, he said. His company now thinks we're headed for into recession. We will get to the other side. Hopefully the signs are we will recover quickly from the virus because of artificial intelligence. This is not a 1950s epidemic, he said. Coronavirus. City. Midlander tests positive for coronavirus. From staff reports. A man who lives in both Midland and Mississippi has tested positive for coronavirus, according to a press release from the city of Midland. The man is in his 80s and traveled from Midland to Mississippi on March 9, according to the release. The dual resident became symptomatic and was admitted to the hospital, where he tested positive. The male has been in Mississippi since March 9 and will not return to Midland until he is no longer symptomatic, according to the release. There weren't any updates Saturday about cases inside Midland County. On Thursday night, Midland Memorial officials reported the first confirmed case in Midland, a man in his 60s. Dr. Larry Wilson, chief medical officer for Midland Memorial, reported Friday that 3 or 4 people are persons under investigation for coronavirus and that hospital officials are waiting for tests to return. The Texas Department of State Health Services reported on its website Saturday that, as of 8 p.m. Friday, 304 people in Texas had tested positive, 5 died, and 6,522 tests had taken place. Coronavirus Effect: School Closures Separate Midland Families, by Caitlin Randall. See Randall at mrt.com. After Texas schools were ordered to close until April 3 and Midland daycares followed suit, working parents were left scrambling, with some forced to leave their children with family members for extended periods of time. Rosemary Olivier works for an airline company, checking passengers in, loading bags, and securing flights. Her 2 children, 14 and 9, have been staying with her mom 4 hours away in Paducah because Midland ISD first closed schools on March 16. Now that Texas Governor Greg Abbott has ordered all schools to remain closed until at least April 3, Olivier said her children will continue staying with her mom. She said she's been covering the shifts of other employees who had to take off for reasons related to the coronavirus. Olivier said she usually works 20 hours a week. This past week, she's been working up to 16 hours a day. Still, she believes everything will soon return to normal. "I'm sure they will find a cure soon," she said. "Any further than the end of April, my children will come back home." Sarah Harris, Director of Operations at Midland Development Corps, was less optimistic. She said her 1-year-old son attends daycare at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, which is planning to stay closed as long as MISD is closed. At this point, she believes they won't reopen until the fall. So far, Harris said she's been able to take her son to the office with her in the morning and work from home in the afternoon. "It's far from ideal, but we're making it work," she said. If the closures continue much longer, Harris said her son likely will have to stay during the week with her parents in New Mexico, an hour and a half away. But she said she worries if it'll be safer for her parents, who are elderly, to be around other people so often.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.